You know, when I'm so far away from you, I feel like, you know, I'm the speaker, you're the people. No, I like to be close. We're all the same. Thank you. So, last night, let me start by saying that I went upstairs in the attic. That's where I have I call it a prayer room upstairs. And so I went before the Lord, and I started putting a word together. And I was working on the word, and 2 hours later, when I finished the word, I felt the Lord say, no. Right? I said, no. Okay. So I have a great word at home, really. But so I said, all right, Lord, I've got to get still and hear your voice. I've got to know what you're saying. And I thank you for taking that away if that's not what he's saying in this time, this moment. And so he did give me a message. And the message title is, The World Needs Love. So Father, I just present this word before you, God. And Father, I just pray that you open up your heart to us, that we would have an understanding, and that, Lord, I want to hit the mark, your mark, Lord God. And so, Father, I just pray that by the power of your wonderful, wonderful Spirit of the living God, take over in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the first scripture that I just want to touch on is 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And it says, the sons of Issachar, who had the understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Does somebody, is that the scripture that you have in your Bible? Yes? Okay. So the sons of Issachar, right? It's mentioned in the Word of God that they had the understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And I started wondering about that. I'm getting a little feedback here. Is anybody else hearing it, or is it just me? Okay. All right, just a tiny bit. So I started to think, in God's presence, he was putting it on my heart. Do we understand the times, and do we really know what we ought to do? Each and every one of us, do we really understand the times we're living in? So if you think about it, God called us to this time, to this very period, the season of time. He called each one of us, right? We could have lived and died 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, but we're here right now. And we're living life and we're enjoying God and do we really know what we are supposed to be doing in this hour? And the Lord, I had to keep waiting on him because, Lord, you know, okay, I got that far, but, you know, what are you saying? What's on your heart? And he started to tell me, tell the people to love the world. For God so loved the world. And that kind of sounds abstract to me. But God so loved the people of the world that he gave his only son. Amen? For God so loved the world. You know, we can't sufficiently pray for the unsaved if we don't love them. And God is love. The love that we need to penetrate through us in our hearts and in our souls to be able to pray in love can only come from Him. Amen? God is love. You know, the Word of God says, kind of ironically, love your enemies. God is telling us, love your enemies. So what kind of love is that? I think it's a love straight from the Father's heart that can change the world. And we know there's so much ugliness in the world. You know, we don't want to even hear the news or hear of certain things. It's so bad. It's so ugly. Excuse me. But where would I be without the Lord? Oh, I was kind of a good girl, I guess. But when I think about, they don't know the love of God. People in the world that are doing their thing, horrible. I see young people with such anger. They have such anger. Oh, don't you come against them, because you're going to get picked up, twisted up, thrown down. I, you know, sometimes I just see, even on the phone, you know, in going through the internet, going through the, And I see that when young people are challenged, something rises up within them, and it's so ugly, fierce. There's such anger. Don't you tell me. Kind of an attitude. So we can say, oh, these kids, you know, are really bad, or they really need an experience with God. They really need to know the love of God. They really need to understand that God gave His Son for them. They don't have an understanding. And right now, their eyes are blinded and their brains are blocked, right? But it's going to take the Christian on their knees praying for the world. It's our calling. It's our calling. And we're the only ones that are anointed to do that. The Christian on their knees praying to break through that solid, hard ground that's in their hearts to pray. You know, I've often thought, and I've said this so much before, if we could see what's going on when we're praying, like watching TV, we would pray more. And especially if it's in color. We would pray more. Oh my God, I am praying and I see demons running. I'm praying, we're praying, and I see demons screeching, howling. That's the power we have. And that's called the church. That is called the church. And we fall back into our own lives, you know, things we have to do and things we want to get and things we want to do, and we fall back. But there is a time that God has called us and a purpose that God has called us to right now. We are the church. And so we have to have that kind of mindset so we can begin breaking through. What time are we living in, and what are we to do? First, God is saying, for I so love the world. God, give us love for the unlovely. Give us love, God. I've got to conquer this thing only with your love. can't do anything on my own. Father, you said to love your enemies. Where does that come from, God? That can only come from you. You can, are the only one that can impart that in us. Father, we ask you, even right now, Lord God, that you would align us according to your heart's desires, God. That you would align us, that you would wake us up, Lord God. Because we're having a merry good time. We're getting together with the church, and we're busy, and we're running, and we're doing. But God, Father, help us not to miss the mark in Jesus' name. I believe for every prayer that's prayed, there is a reward in heaven. And that the Father is a rewarder of those he loves, and he can't wait. He can't wait. He's got so much for us. But the greatest reward, imagine the greatest reward being up there and someone coming forth and saying, I was this, I was that, this is what I was doing. Do you think there'll be testimonies up there? And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened to me. All of a sudden, I started getting afraid because of the things I was doing. Or all of a sudden, I started feeling bad. Imagine Jesus saying, well, this young man prayed for you. And that started a whirlwind of a new beginning in your life. Where am I? I don't know. What makes us holy? We're a holy generation, a holy people. What makes us holy? Love is our holy anointing. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 says, and the greatest of these is love. Because love can move mountains. I think of my father, and I think of my father being somebody that was held captive with inside of himself. There was a lot of goodness there, a lot of good things, but I think that he was kind of almost crippled or tied, bound somehow. But if someone spent a little time with him, if someone encouraged him in some way, I would see my father flourish. I would see him all of a sudden talk in a different way because somebody touched something inside of him that, you know what I'm saying? You ever see that? You ever notice things like that? How people need the Lord. People need to know the love of God. Love is our anointing that breaks you. If you can think of, if you can think of a person that maybe displeases you, maybe you don't like to be around, maybe we should stop fasting for that person. Maybe you, especially you, should start praying, getting down, calling God down, calling that person's name, you know what I'm saying? And just keep doing that. This is the person or persons or group of people or whatever I'm going to be praying for. And God's going to show you things. God may even show you things that happened to that person when he was a little boy or a little girl, or may see that they're stuck in something that others don't see. because God will open up our eyes and give us an anointing for that person that he will place on our hearts. And we are, and don't realize how powerful we are. We really don't. We don't realize how powerful we are. Remember I told you, with two prophets long time ago, I just got saved. And they said to me, they said, sister, when you're praying, there are demons running all over the place. I gotta look this up. Where can you find them in the word? What is going on here? I remember I went up to the altar right there, and I was saying, I was shaking because it was so strong to me when they said that these two prophets and I'm just saved. I'm just, you know, oh my God, I've got to look into that. Well, I think that it's time that we begin looking into things. Why, what is our purpose? Why are we here? And what should we be doing? To walk in the center of God's will, to hit the mark in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So God loved the world that he gave his wonderful son that we may believe in him and have eternal life. We can't tell them. We can't tell them the truth without love. Like I said, love is our anointing. But Lord, how can I love that person in the government that, you know, I can't stand her and I don't like her? And so I know, but God doesn't want her to go to hell. He doesn't want her to burn in flames eternally, does he? So we're the end time people. You know, you've heard me say that before. We're the end time people. And there are unsaved people that don't desire God because they never tasted or felt his love. So many of them are blind that they don't believe there's a God. Amen. Only prayer can break through that. Only prayer. Imagine, you know what? Oh, I pray for my loved ones. I pray for my family. I pray for the church. I'm going to go pray for some people I don't like. That's what I think I'm going to do today. That should be fun. But we're the end time people. We're here for a reason. And there's a work to be done before the Lord comes back. They don't desire God because, like I said, they never felt his love. You did. God called you, and he tenderized your heart, and he opened up your eyes. Maybe you got some goosebumps, or maybe you started to cry. Maybe you felt him touch you. Maybe you got excited. They're living in the darkest world lives. They all are miserable. You can't be happy. You can't be whole if you don't know God. Amen. You see what God was doing to me last night? I had a word all prepared, 4 pages. All prepared, 2 hours or whatever it was. I was up there a long time, right? He said, put it aside. Maybe that's for another time. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. What are the times we're living in? We say, okay, this is the end time period. I don't know how long it will go on. So we're called at this time. What are we supposed to be doing? We need an understanding, and we need to respond appropriately to the circumstances that surround us. You know, Jesus saw the most wretched people coming into God's love. Imagine what Jesus saw when he walked around. You know, some of the people that he prayed for probably weren't very nice. You think that all these nice people got in line and, you know, no. And Jesus knew everything. And I think that whenever we have a drive, a call that God has given us, he gives us giftings along with that. And Jesus was able to come across somebody and know exactly, right? What is that gift called? Discernment. Amen. Do you want that? So that you can have the key for that person's life. Meet somebody, even maybe in a store. If you have this mindset and you have this drive and you're praying, you could even be in a store and some man could start yelling, hey, I thought that was on sale, you know, whatever. And you can look at that man and say, and see something in him. God will show you something in him that you need to pray about. And he could be vile and he could be like, just get out of the store, you know, yelling, screaming, I don't know. But you have this feeling inside of you. The reason why I came across this situation today with this man is for a reason. I don't know his name, but I saw him. He was before me. I heard him. I'm going to start praying for him. Okay? The sons of Issachar understood the times, and they knew what Israel had to do. That's amazing to me. Amazing to me. To merely be able to identify the problem is not enough. Oh, this guy is such a problem. He's wherever he goes, he's a troublemaker. Oh, you know what he's doing? He has a job, but then on the side, what he's doing, this or that or that. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Do you know, going back to my father used to steal things. Right, honey? He used to steal. He'd go in a store and walk out with something. He'd somehow get it. My dad came to know the Lord, and he became like a little child, crying. But my dad used to steal things. And you know what he used to think? Ah, great. He went to bed probably happy. Look what I did. Now I didn't have to pay for this. I got this thing over here. Great. What a good day. What kind of a mindset is that? Don't know any better. Don't know any better. They don't know any better. Nobody is praying, God, give me the keys. The keys of the kingdom for that man. God, you love him. Jesus, you love him. You went to the cross for him. So I think what I'm trying to say is, as the church, I think we're wasting some time and maybe not hitting the bullseye, if you know what I mean, to be the church. I don't want to make anybody feel guilty. First me, you know, first I have the understanding. I see how I may be falling short in areas, all of us. We were born for such a time as this, here and now. Here and now. What are we going to do? Are we just going to go our way and have fun and make our plans, and of course we're saved, we know the Lord, we love the Lord, but I wonder, you know, in my mind, if you could get in here, I'd drive you crazy, but anyway, I know when I get to heaven there are rewards, but what are the things that God had for me that I'm not going to be presented with? Because God has so much for us, so many plans for us, and so many rewards. I've tried so many times to think of some of the rewards, And I don't think I'm getting this close to what God the Father has for his children. When we are face to face with God, with the Lord, the Spirit of God there, I don't know if we're going to be face to face with the Father. I don't know if he's going to be, I'm not sure. I think about that a lot. But imagine, here we are. Imagine, here we are. And imagine those souls start parading by us that we prayed for and said, I came to know the Lord in the year of blah, 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 blah. Oh, and you know, I was praying at that time. In fact, I asked others to pray for them. This is really what the church is all about. This is it. Because if we don't hit the target in this area and we just go on with our lives, we're still saved. We'll see each other in heaven. But if we're after God's heart, I'm going to say that again. If we're after God's heart, if we're after God's heart, he wants to open up that heart to you and show you some things you never imagined. Why are we here? And why are we here at a time like this? Why? Why? And we are considered end time people. We were chosen to be considered to be end time people because God's got a plan. And each and every one of us have to realize, have to know the power that we have within us. The power that God has given us. The anointing that we have within us. Stir it up. God says in the Word of God, stir up the gifts within you. Stir them up. And that means we have to wake up because sometimes we're sleeping. Stir them up. Stir up the gifts within you. Know who you are in Christ. Know where your anointings are. But most of all, where your heart is. Is your heart for the unsaved? Is your heart lining up with God's heart in these days? I don't want the time to slip by and say, I should have done this and I should have done that. I don't want that time to slip by. I could have done more. Oh yeah, we all could have done more. But do you know what I'm talking about? It's a matter of waking up. It's a matter of your heart to his heart, heart to heart, heart to heart. God, I'm after your heart. God, I am here to bring you glory. God, I am here to bless you. Could we bless God? This God, this infinite God, could we, a little thing like me, I'm like a piece of dust. Could I bless the heart of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there are certain times when we're aligned with God's heart and we're moving about in the spirit, putting our, you know, our lives down and moving about. And I really believe that God feels that. And I feel that he's proud of his children. And I think that God gets excited because he has awards, rewards. He has gifts for us. And he can't wait. You know, when your kids were little, some of you still have little kids, but not really. But when your kids were little, and you were so excited to go to bed on Christmas Eve because the next morning you had wrapped these things, you bought those things for them, and they were there. And you know, they always wake up before you, and they'd wake you up, jump on the bed, you know, it's Christmas, and they're all happy and everything. And you've got these things set aside, and you know when they open up those packages, their eyes are going to be really big, and they're going to be so excited. God loves to bless his children. We're all blessed, blessed people. But God wants to begin, I believe, to bless us in ways that we have never known. Walking in the center of his will is where I want to be. We're being called into action, church. Take up the armor of God and go into action. We have a war to fight, but not against people, against demons, you know, maybe that lady in government, maybe she's got some big fat demons, and she's not going to go to heaven with those things. That's what we're here for. Put our feelings down, put ourselves down, and walk in God's purposes. Can somebody say amen? Okay. So you're not against the people, you're against their demons. You're against their demons. You know how to pray for demons? Not for them, against them. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to warfare? Do you know? I think the main ingredient, like I said, is love for that person. You want to see that person free, right? You don't want to see that person go to hell, right? So there is an earnest, what would you say? Yeah. Yes. You know, if your neighborhood, say there's an old man lives in your neighborhood and he's a cranky thing, you know? Right, he is. Okay. Well, you're going to pray with him. You best better believe it, buddy girl. You're going to pray. Yeah, pray for him. Well, not like that. And you say, oh, if the ball, don't let the ball go over, you know, kids, I had four boys, so don't let the ball go over the big hedges there, because you probably won't get it back, right? Because there's this cranky man, he's going to take that ball, and he's going to hide it, or whatever. It's a scenario, I'm just making up a story as I go along. And nobody likes him. The whole neighborhood knows about this man. You know, if there's a dog barking, he'll go up down the street and bark after the dog and curse him and yell and scream. And you know, this kind of man. You know, maybe we should do that. Pick the worst people we could possibly think of. And make that our prayer target. I've chosen you. Someone that is you just can't stand. And then you start asking God, give me your heart, God. Give me your heart. I am after God's heart. What about you? After God's heart. There was someone in the Bible. Who was it that was after God's heart? David, a man after God's own heart. I want to be like David. I want to be like that. You want to be like that. Yes, you do. You all do. After God's heart. And when you tell God the Father, good morning, God. Thank you for another day. Father, I am after your heart. I'm after your heart, God. God, I want to please you. Show me your heart, God. I'm after your heart. I can't pray for that one, Lord. What are you talking about? He did something to my son. How dare he touch my son like that? Oh, no. No. God's own son went to the cross so that our eyes would be open, so that we would enter the kingdom, so that we would have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly high places. Ephesians 6. Oh, wow. All right, now, am I ready to do this, Lord? Am I going to be attacked, Lord God? Am I holy enough? Do I have what it takes? You know what, Lord? Just let me straighten up my life a little bit more, and then I'll go back there. No. Let me tell you something. We're all sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all sinners saved by the blood of Jesus. Do you know, when I think of Jesus, that, you know, somebody that did a study on that kind of death and everything, that blood was coming out of his pores. Blood, it was blood everywhere. And every drop of blood that was coming out of the pores of the Son of God was screaming, I love you. There was a sound, and there was a sound in heaven. I believe it. I believe it because there's life in the blood. And the life of Jesus is coming out of his pores. I love you. I love you. I love you. And the hardest part of that whole thing that he had to go through was, wait a minute. Father, where are you? All of a sudden, he didn't feel his father's presence. Remember that on the cross? And God had to just turn away. I don't know why. Some say because God couldn't look at sin. I don't know why. But I'm thinking that Jesus went through everything that was tormenting, that was torture, that was so hard. Everything, even the absence of God. He covered everything with his blood. What a chosen people we are. What a blessed people we are. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I believe that God is putting his faith in us to do what he's calling us to do. It's so easy to love my brothers and sisters. It's so easy to love the church. You know? And we are to love each other. We are to respect each other. We are to take on each other's hardships, take on each other's things that we're going through. Right? Amen. Amen. Jesus came down on the cross not for everyone that was walking with him, but for those that weren't, and that weren't even interested in him. Before Jesus went into the desert, remember? Let's go there. Matthew 3:17. I know God changed my mind on what I was going to be sharing today. Right before Jesus went into this horrible, terribly dry, ugly place with Satan, something happened. He went into the waters of baptism. Jesus was baptized. And verse 3:16 says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, upon him. All of a sudden, he saw, it says, the behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that was right before he went into the desert. You know, and I believe that when he went into the desert, he was thinking of that moment, the heavens opened and there was a voice. And he was, I feel that that got him ready to go into his desert experience. The Father is with me. Oh, he's not going to go in the desert with me. But what he did, he opened up the heavens and he made an announcement. "This is my own dear Son, in whom I am well pleased." Even before he went, don't you think that the love of God and what God said over him made such a difference when he went into that desert with Satan? Don't you think that that is just what he needed to hear before he went in there? I believe he needed to be reminded of who he was and how much the Father loved him and was pleased with him. "Before you go, before he goes, I will tell my Son, I'm already pleased with you." And he was able to go into that place with Satan. When Satan was tempting him, he was hungry, whatever it was, that affirmation, what's the word? Affirmation. Stayed with him and stayed on him, and he was able to go. He made up his mind beforehand. Of course he was going to go. Of course he was going to do that. He knew that that's what the Father was calling him to do at that time. But we all need affirmation. Amen? We all need. And we're all after the heart of God. God will quicken our mortal bodies, letting you know how much he loves you, how much he is with you, how he called you before you were born. He knew you before you were born. Amen. Amen. And he's going to walk us through some very hard times, lots of deserts, I think, very difficult things. But we not only will walk through them, but we're going to walk through them right, because we are the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are after our Father's heart. Who knows what it's going to look like? It's going to be, I think it's going to be real tough. I think things are going to go wild. Okay. But we have that affirmation. We have that love of God. We have a calling. We have an anointing. Every single one of you are anointed for this time, for the world. Every single one of you. There's an anointing on you. And I think it came out of Jesus' body when all the blood came out of his pores. That was for his church. Do you remember? It's John 21, verse 11. That Peter denied Jesus three times. "Oh my God. Oh my God. What happened?" Fear gripped him. "No, I don't know him. No, I'm not with him. No." Oh, I often think about Peter afterwards, what that man went through. In a moment of sheer fear, such fear. And he did that, and he walked away. "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What did I do?" Jesus. But then, Jesus appeared, and you know the story, and that's in John 21:11. He appeared to the men, and he was on the seashore. Everybody's familiar. And he spent a little alone time with Peter. And he said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" What a beautiful time between Jesus and Peter, because he could look at Jesus and say, "Yes, I love you, Lord." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I love you. I love you, Lord." "Peter, feed my lambs. Follow me," he was saying. "And this is your calling. You'll love me, Peter. Feed the lambs. Feed my sheep." And when I was reading last night, 1st and 2nd, 3rd Peter, I was like weeping. Because what came out of, I felt that Jesus was affirming him at that time. And knowing that Peter loved him so much. "Peter, thou lovest me?" "Yes, Lord." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord. I love you." "Then feed my sheep." Keep your eyes on those that are going to become my sheep. Keep your eyes on those that are already my lambs. But Peter, put yourself aside, lay yourself down, and come after me. Do what I would do. And I think that's what I'm trying to say this morning, is we love the fellowship, we love the worship, and we love reading our word, and I know that everybody here prays, but I think, I really believe that God wants us to go deeper with a greater understanding of the times we're living in and our calling in these times. God, Jesus had such a love for the people around him. They never met anybody like him. That love is still touching people today. People, even this very hour, are getting saved because all of a sudden, the real love of God has reached them. That love can touch people through us. God didn't give up on me. I don't want to give up on people. It is a lost and dying world. And we've been called. How blessed we are to know the love of God. How blessed we are to celebrate his goodness in worship, to receive ministry from the Lord God. How blessed. We are a blessed, blessed people. And I think that God wants us to become a blessed people on our knees. Okay. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I do pray, God, for all of us, for myself as well as my brothers and sisters, God, that truly, Lord God, a trumpet would sound in the midst of our beings, in our ears, a call, God, a call to prayer. That something will happen, Lord God, within our minds, and we will begin seeing things deeper and more clearly, the things you want us to see. Father, I pray that each one of us is impregnated with a hunger and a thirst to go after your heart. This is the hour. If we don't do it now, Lord, I know we're all on our way to heaven, and I know there are rewards, and we will eternally be so satisfied. But while we are here, open up the eyes of our hearts to understand and accept the calling in these serious, tumultuous times and for the times that are coming. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, God. Father, Jesus told the disciple to follow him. And that's what we're asking, God. To follow his heart. To follow your heart, Lord. To understand why we are here in this hour. And Father, only you can burn things in us with your burning eyes of love. Burn it in us, Lord God, that we answer the call of prayer. And Father, that we do tremendous, wonderful, holy things in our secret place. It's a secret, Lord. It's a secret. That's why you called it that. And it will be that place, Lord God, at some point in time when things are horrific, that we will abide in the secret place of the Most High. But we want to meet with you there, God, and go deeper. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I know this message was for at least a few here this morning. I know this is a message that God wanted us to hear, and I'll tell you why. Because the devil didn't want us to hear it. What happened, like Pastor Di explained, the Lord gave her a message and then just wiped it out and gave her something else. And it was well after 10 o'clock. She's upstairs, and she calls down to me. She calls me on her phone. And I says, you finished? She says, I got a problem. I says, what? She says, it's all gone. I said, what do you mean it's all gone? She says, I went to print it out, and the page is all blank. It's just totally gone. The whole message is gone. I said, no, it can't be. So I'm able to, rather than climb the stairs and go up into the attic, I'm able to access the computer upstairs from my little laptop downstairs. So I go on, I look, and there's the page is completely blank. So I go into file. I see the title of the thing. I click on it. It's completely blank. Somehow it was gone. And I just stopped and I prayed, I said, Lord, you, after all this work, you got to help me here. And he just quickened in my mind, maybe she saved it in the wrong place. And thank God I was able to go in and we found it. And we were able to print. But I just know that the enemy does those kinds of things. I've had that happen before, and I know she's had it happen too. But, and you've probably had it happen. You go to save something or whatever, and it's just completely gone. Thank God it was there. Amen. So I know the enemy was trying to stop this message from coming forth. It was definitely for us to hear this morning. Amen? Amen. The other message?
Oh, the other one? Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be next week. But yes, I have that message.
We'll see. Did you save that one? All right. All right. Good. Praise God. Hey, look, Join us in the cafe. Let's have a little time of fellowship and some. Amen.